You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 73. As you can see, or not see, I guess is the case, we are not doing a video show this week. Thank you for the feedback on last week's beta test. If you haven't gotten feedback in, let us know what you think. But it's weird because now that I'm starting to get the new virtual studio set up, the one that we did is more and more embarrassing. So, which I think is a good thing. But yeah, once we get up and running with this, perhaps as soon as next week, I hope people will be really impressed. I'm looking forward to this. So anyway, so real quick about that. Well, I guess before we get to that, we've got Lou and Chris with us this week. How you guys doing?
Great. I'm doing well.
Good, good. So next time, guys, you'll have a little bit more warning that we're doing a video show. I almost apologize for that.
Yeah, last week was like, okay, we're getting logged in and, oh, hey, we're doing video. What?
Shoot, let me put some clothes on. Yeah.
No, I just moved the camera up so I didn't, you know.
Ah. Never mind.
No, I was fully clothed.
Okay, well, that's good. Sure you were. Anyway, yeah, so this is going to be a thing. We are going to be doing video podcasts from now on of the main shows. Now, I know a lot of people don't have time to sit and watch an hour of video, and most of you probably still listen to your podcasts at the gym or while you're driving to work and things like that. We are still prioritizing the audio. So don't worry, that is the foundation upon which we have built, and we will continue. But we are also going to be doing video as well. And the video format's going to allow us to do some other things, too. We've got a couple of short-form podcast ideas coming soon, one of which is a trailer analysis show that we've been wanting to do for a long time, and we are finally going to be able to be doing that now. So that's going to be exciting. All of these are going to be posted to YouTube. And so when we do the shows from now on, I should point this out. If I can get it to work out properly, we're going to have the chat embedded into the video. So you guys will get to see what's going on in the chat room as well. So if you've ever wanted to participate in the chat room, now would be a great time because that'll be embedded in the episode forever. So, I guess that's it for the network announcement side of things. We'll have more information on that very, very soon, but we are moving forward very quickly with that. We will also be doing some gaming on Twitch. And we were just discussing before the show, I think one of the games we're going to focus on is going to be Star Wars The Old Republic. So if you've never played it and you're curious about it, you can follow us in Twitch, and I'll have more information for you later on how to go about doing that. If you're not familiar with it, twitch.tv is a website where you can go and watch other people game, but it's more than just watching them play a video game. It's interactive. There's a chat room. People interact with the chat room. It's different than you may expect it to be, but we are going to be starting Star Wars, The Old Republic. We're going to be doing new characters from scratch. You'll be able to follow the storylines. You'll be able to get an idea of what the game is like. You will be able to join us. We will have a guild set up. You'll be able to game right there with us. So we'll have more information for you on that as well, as far as what server. We'll have both light side and dark side, I think. And, so that's it. Are you guys, Lou, you're going to be joining us, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Chris, what about you? Have you decided yet?
Barring any unexpected happenings, I will probably be there, yes.
There are always unexpected happenings.
Let's not, don't say that. I want to be, I definitely want to take part, so I'm hoping that nothing
happens. Really want Chris there when I space my next engineering staff.
Yes. So. Yeah, oh, we will get that on video, Lou.
Yeah.
That'll be a thing. Yeah, and the good thing is, too, that if people are, if they want to play Old Republic, they can play with us, and even if we're not streaming, you can still be part of the guild, and you can still level up outside of that and interact with us and things like that. And there's been a lot more content added. If you've played before and left the game, it seems like, I've not been keeping up with it like I feel like I should be, but it seems like there has been a lot of content that's been added for the end game right now. And even if that runs dry at some point, I think there's probably been enough added since you may have left to keep you going for quite a while. So we're going to explore
and
that.
Plus, it's Star Wars. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's not every day you get to play in that world and be there and fully engulfed.
And that's the other thing that's going to be nice about streaming that as well, because like we can talk about Star Wars and Star Wars news and things like that while we're gaming. In fact, we may even do some podcast recordings from in game.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Yeah. We kind of need to have our characters doing the show for us in one of their strongholds or something.
Yeah. So,
it'd be almost like they're, you know, prophesizing the future too, because that is the Old Republic. We're talking about upcoming events for movies we're getting now. So it's like, you know, their future.
That is very true. That's very true. So it's almost like we're precognizant. Like you can tell people, listen, these guys knew what was going to be going on with Star Wars thousands of years prior to anybody else. That's how on top of things.
Exactly.
These podcast hosts are. Yeah. Oh, you know, and speaking of podcasts, someone in our Slack channel, Jared Hart, he included a tweet from some guy. Let me see if I can pronounce the name correctly. John Boyega. Sounds familiar from somewhere. He tweeted, adding podcast interviews to my promo tour during SW8, whatever that is. But where to go? To which Jared then posted, I'd highly recommend Echo Base Podcast. They are awesome and do great interviews. So first of all, thank you, Jared. And second of all, if people out there wanted to respond to John Boyega and recommend the Echo Base Podcast, and again, that's at Echo Base Podcast, not just at Echo Base. We would be happy to, say, ask him some questions on your behalf.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably fit him into our schedule.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we could, yeah.
I don't know. We might have to squeeze him in.
Let me check my... Oh, no, yeah, we can fit it in.
I'm sorry, John. Thanks for hanging out with us, but we've run out of time. We don't have any time to ask you any questions. Can you come back next week?
In the week after?
We'll do a whole Matt Damon thing. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, it's kind of been a slow news week. There are a couple of things here. Do you guys watch the Star Wars show at all?
I've seen a couple of episodes. Not actively.
Okay. I caught the first 3 weeks actively, and then after that, it's been kind of, you know, I've gone back and picked them up when I can. This week, Kevin Smith was on. And that was very cool. So that was worth checking out. For me, I feel like they're so short that it's nice to hear from people like Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo, and the show is done so well. Like, I've got all kinds of respect for it, but it's so short that there's not a lot of meat there for me. It's not a lot of content, it feels like. But I did notice that there is a after Star Wars show. And I had heard about it, forgot that it existed. And just before we started recording tonight, I started to watch a little bit of it with our friend Justin Bulger. So if you guys want to see a little bit of Justin, if you're kind of missing him on the podcast, he has gone on to bigger and better things. So, yeah, he's on the after the Star Wars show. I don't know if he's on every episode, but he's on at least one. I think it looked like he was maybe on two. But man, how cool is that for Justin?
That's awesome.
Very cool.
I can't get over that. I am so happy for him. I don't even know what to say. But anyway, so that seems more interesting to me because it's a little bit longer and you get a little more in-depth discussion. So I think I'm going to start picking that up from now on. In other news, this is not an official release from Fantasy Flight Games, and so I'm hesitant to bring it up, because I really like Fantasy Flight Games, and because I support the stuff that they do, and I want to be careful if I ever support something that is kind of on the boundaries of that, but it looks like they're not trying to get any money from this. It looks like this is very much a do-it-yourself project that they are just kind of releasing their blueprints for so that people can do on their own. But there is a fan expansion pack for X-Wing miniatures. And it is called X-Wing Ground Assault. It's version 0.1, so it looks like it's very much beta. I'm going to read the press release here. This is from xwingassault.com. We are pleased to announce the first version 0.1 release of X-Wing Ground Assault, a fan-made expansion pack built for X-Wing miniatures. Our pack introduces a new set of rules, unit cards, upgrade cards, and custom components to effectively bring ground-based units into the fodder of X-Wing. Our first release focuses on the iconic Battle of Hoth with AT-AT walkers and rebel troopers spread across the battlefield. We have tried to stay true to the X-Wing philosophy of easy to learn, difficult to master gameplay. This is our first, this is our first step as a project, and in the near future, you can expect to see a mission pack focusing on various objectives set during the Battle of Hoth. Until then, here's the link. Our package contains PDFs, which you can print yourself. If interested in playing with miniatures, please see our resources to make your own. May the Force be with you. So, that's kind of cool. It's one of those things where people enjoy the X-Wing game so much that they want to explore new ways of playing. And as long as they are not treading on trademarks and not infringing on anything owned by Lucasfilm or Fantasy Flight Games, I think this is awesome because it's yet another way in which you can engage with the game. So that's awesome. Finally in the news, a Star Wars pop-up cantina will be arriving in Hollywood. I believe later this year.
What is a pop-up cantina?
So my understanding is it's like a temporary restaurant.
That's a good way to put it.
This is a thing in some places.
Okay.
Now I'm going to read the article from Nerdist here because I think this is going to be a better way to explain it than what I would come up with. If you could spend an evening anywhere in the Star Wars universe, I'm guessing many of you would choose to drop by the Mos Eisley Cantina. Sure, it's full of bounty hunters, music that gets stuck in your head, and rude bar patrons, but who could resist the allure of stopping in for a beverage and the local gossip? All our cantina dreams are about to come true, and you don't even have to travel to Tatooine, thank goodness for that. Oh my gosh. Thank you. We're excited to exclusively announce the Scum and Villainy Cantina is coming to Hollywood this winter. The Star Wars-inspired cantina is a temporary pop-up experience with an immersive environment. You'll be able to eat galactic delicacies, drink, and spend time taking 5 million pictures and selfies. Each reservation at the Scum and Villainy Cantina includes two drinks of your choice, a souvenir pint glass, a Scum and Villainy challenge coin, and other surprises. Your reservation gets you 2 hours inside the pop-up, either from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., or from 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. nightly, or 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. They'll allow walking customers from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. If you save your challenge coin, you can return during open seating and get in for free. Reservations for the Scum and Villainy Cantina will open next week on their website. Give Scum and Villainy a like on Facebook to keep up with news, menu details, and more. So,
I wish I was closer.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
That'd be pretty cool. I mean,
I like that idea.
It kind of sounds like the Star Wars Day at Sea thing, but, you know.
I don't know.
Sorry, I just had a because they had the menus and stuff and, you know, made it like an immersive experience on that one day.
Here's the thing. I could care less about having blue milk to drink or a Bantha burger or whatever else. To me, what would make it immersive is like what they had at Celebration.
Yeah.
What everybody wanted to do was sit in the I guess it wasn't actually the Millennium Falcon. It was the Outrider. I was so enamored with that set that I didn't even pay attention to, you know, what it actually was. But yeah, they had that. They had Rey's little speeder thing from Jakku, and they had the big Mos Eisley Cantina set. That's what makes you feel like you're in Star Wars.
Yeah, now the Mos Eisley Cantina set, I mean, that was what they, what Lucasfilm set up to do interviews and stuff with in there. They were doing their own thing, and
right,
fans weren't really allowed in there. But that would have been cool if it was. I mean, that would have been,
yeah.
If they had made a restaurant, I mean, think what that would have done for fans. On the convention floor, if they had put together a restaurant, and, you know, you can, I mean, there's been pop-up restaurants here and there, and this, you know, talk about this kind of thing. They could have put together a whole restaurant, set it up as if it was the cantina.
You would have never gotten in.
Yeah, it would have been in line for the whole weekend we were there. But the fans that got in to do that, how cool would that have been?
Yeah.
You know, to sit in a booth, you know, in the cantina itself. I mean, come on, that would have been awesome.
You know, it's nice that we're finally getting to a point of real immersion for Star Wars. When you and I were growing up with the action figures, and Chris, when you were growing up, I guess you also had action figures, but you also had other distractions as kids that we didn't have. We didn't have the internet. Cable TV was just becoming a thing. VHS tapes weren't even out yet. And immersion for us as Star Wars fans was playing with the toys and, you know, role playing different scenarios and things like that. And now we've got, you know, video games have taken over, and all the way back to the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter games, you know, way back in the, what I want to say, mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look up the dates, but, and now up to things like Battlefront, which, say what you will about what content should or should not have been in it, is a beautiful looking game and is much more immersive than a lot of other stuff. Well, now for the PlayStation, we are getting, for the PlayStation VR, an exclusive mission for Battlefront in which you are inside the X-Wing. And how much more immersive do you get than being inside of an actual X-Wing, be able to turn your head and look out the side of the cockpit at the other ships and look down and see your controls and your flight stick. And that, I mean, I haven't gotten to experience that, but that's just got to be incredible. And then this other, the Adventure on Tatooine thing that Joel was talking about when he went to Celebration Europe, which apparently I think is already out right now for the Oculus Rift, and the upcoming one with Darth Vader. And now we've got the pop-up cantina, And Disney World is coming out with a whole Star Wars area that is designed to immerse you in a Star Wars planet. And hopefully with a cantina-like thing and stuff like that. But it's a different kind of experience. Like, I know when we went to Celebration and we got to sit and get our pictures taken in the Falcon/Outrider set. Like, that was cool. And that's still one of my mm-hmm. favorite pictures. Like, when I'm showing non-Star Wars fans pictures from Celebration, that's one of the ones I always show them. Because they're like, oh, that's really cool. That's like the Millennium Falcon, right? And technically it's not. But yeah, it is. And that's just awesome. And the one point at which we thought we actually had arrangements to go and get pictures taken before it opened the one time in the cantina. Mm. And we went and kind of sat in there for a little bit. That was awesome. Like those.
Until we got thrown out.
Apparently there was legitimate miscommunication. We were not trying to do anything nefarious. We respect rules and boundaries and stuff like that. That was not intentional. But there's something about that that's just like you would think it's just kind of cheesy and stuff until you actually sit there. And then you're like, this is what it would be like to be sitting in one of these seats in a cantina in a galaxy far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of thing, like there's some of it that's a little bit gimmicky and then there's some that's not. I'm really hoping that this pop-up cantina in Hollywood is not gimmicky. But like, what do you guys think about the immersion of things in Star Wars? Like even, I mean, the Star Wars role-playing game from FFG, you'd think that we're a paid sponsor for them and we're not, I want to make it clear, but like the role-playing games are incredibly immersive. Even the X-Wing game is immersive. I found the card game a little less so, even though it's a fun card game, but like even the X-Wing miniatures, I think you kind of feel like you're planning out a dogfight. And there are a lot of different ways in which to be immersed, but like, what do you guys look forward to? What would you like to see come down the pipe? What are you, you know, what does immersion as a Star Wars fan mean to you?
One thing I like is, and I kind of hope they do this with Star Wars Land, is I want to walk in a room and feel like I'm on a set of, you know, not a set of a movie, but mm-hmm. like I'm actually in the universe. And yeah, you know, things like the cantina is fine, but you know, like when we were at Celebration, I liked that and it was cool and all, but I knew all around me, like I could look to my left and I could see, you know, the end of the set.
Right.
It would be nice to walk in a full enclosed room and it be like
360 degree immersion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can do that with VR technology, but I'm talking about like a real life, you know, walk onto the Millennium Falcon or something and be able to walk around and interact with the set and, you know, sit down and have a photo op or, you know, go to the cockpit or even, you know, be in the hangar of the Death Star or a Star Destroyer or something like that. And, you know, have people in costume walking around and acting out parts and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I hope that one thing I like is when you go to, let's say, a licensed amusement park ride, and while you're in the queue, you are, you know, put in like a something similar to like the movie location. Or
right.
I know, I think it was, I think at Universal Studios in Florida is a mummy ride. And part of the queue in that is a like you're in like a crypt, which is, you know, it's simple, but, you know, it gets the job done.
Right. Another example from Universal in Florida, the Spider-Man ride.
Yeah, that's what I was actually just about to say.
Yeah, the Daily Bugle. before you get in one of their press cars to drive around.
Yeah, they do a good job at that park with that kind of stuff. I think the Hulk ride, even way back when, was like that.
Yeah.
Harry Potter is actually a good example of what I'm talking about when it comes to 360. I went there back in 2010 and with some friends, and it was packed, but I still felt like I was in that world because literally everything around me was, it was the shops. And then I looked up and I saw Hogwarts Castle, which was cool. And they do a good job too of making you feel like you're walking through the castle as you walk through the line. I did the single rider line, so I didn't get to see every single part that, you know, the normal line gets to go through, but I got to see some things that was really cool. And I hope that they do that with Star Wars Land, and that's the kind of stuff that I like. I mean,
well, let me ask you, because I've not gotten to go to the Harry Potter portion. That was like just wrapping up construction when I was at Universal last, but everybody raves about it and it seems awesome. But I guess there's a part of me that, like, you know, you're walking through, what is it, Diagon Alley or something like that, and there's all this stuff everywhere, and then next to you there's like a family of five with dad wearing a Hawaiian shirt with his gut sticking out and the kids whining because they want to buy candy and this and that, and like it feels like the people around you would break you out of the immersion. Like, how much of the crowded tourist aspect of it? I know it has to affect it a little bit, but
it would if like, you know, if they didn't do a good enough job of distracting you from that kind of thing, then I can definitely see where like crowds and seeing somebody that just looks way out of place would be a problem. But I felt like at least my time there, I didn't really have that, mainly because I was worried about, you know, talking to my friends and sharing that experience with them and looking around at all of the things that, you know, even if I did see something that distracted me, that kind of even briefly took me out of that feeling like I was in that universe. You know, it wasn't an issue. And I think Star Wars Land will have that same feeling because, you know, that most of the people that go to that are going to be Star Wars fans. So even if they're wearing a Hawaiian shirt with their gut sticking out, you know, I don't think it'll be that much of a problem because you will have so much to look at and so much to just surround yourself with that, you know, that distraction won't be damaging to your overall experience.
Okay. That's reassuring.
With that being said, I highly recommend you go to see the Harry Potter park, especially since they expanded, which I haven't been to, and I would love to go, especially if I make it down to Orlando for a celebration. I'd love to go to that again.
Yeah, I would love to check that out.
Even if you're not a Harry Potter fan, like that is how to do a movie licensed park. And it's not even that big either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so. I tell you what, we will, if and when we make it down to Celebration, if we've got an extra day, we can go do that. We'll have to go do that as a kind of a staff thing.
Mm-hmm.
Having a pseudo staff member who can get us in helps. I won't mention any names. Mm-hmm. Lou, what about you? When it comes to immersion for Star Wars, is there anything that sticks out for you? Is there anything you're looking forward to seeing? Is there anything that you wish existed that doesn't?
You know, up until the announcement of the recent expansions on the parks, I think that's kind of what I wanted for, you know, a full immersion. And I'm hoping that's what we get. I'm hoping they do a good job of this to the extent that, you know, everybody says, like Chris was just saying, the Harry Potter thing is such a great experience. I kind of hope this is our version of that, but even more so. Because it just feels like a lot of times when parks do a section of the park for some property, it's cheesy. And you guys are just talking about that a little bit too. It's, you know, I just don't want it to be cheesy. I want it to feel like I'm really there. I want it to feel as if I just stepped into the movie set. I don't want it to feel like I am on a, you know, a ride made for me as a tourist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's my biggest worry, that you're going to get there and it's going to be, oh, here, you know, here's your popcorn thing that's really, you know, some Star Wars name or something. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want it to be like that. You know, it's like, I want it to feel real.
You remember, this is a horrible movie, horrible, horrible movie. But did you ever see The Cable Guy? Jim Carrey, yes. Matthew Broderick. Yes. Remember when they go to medieval times?
Yes.
And Jeanine Garofalo is the waitress. And Matthew Broderick says, can I get a fork? And she goes, they did not have forks in medieval times. Therefore, you do not get a fork at medieval times. And she walks off and he looks at her as she's walking off. She says, oh, but we could get Pepsi.
Right.
Yeah. To me, that is the experience when you go to like something and, you know, the whole, again, it's like the blue milk and the Bantha burger. And it's like, okay, it's a cheeseburger and you're calling it a Bantha burger to make me feel like that's immersive. And it's not. It's a cheeseburger.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it strangely enough, along those same lines, you know, the one day on the cruise, it was a Star Wars Day at Sea. They did do a pretty good job of making, you know, all the dinner menus were the same. They had Star Wars themed stuff in all the dining facilities. And it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel like it was, oh God, they're just trying to milk this, you know, because it's not like you had to pay to get in. It was already part of the cruise you paid for. You know, it's not like you paid, right. Oh, I got to pay more to go into the Star Wars, you know, eatery now. But they had, you know, I think I had a Darth Vader Nerf steak or something like that. But you know, it didn't feel like the Cable Guy scenario you just mentioned.
Okay.
But yeah, I would have much rather had it where, you know, hey, they turned part of the ship into a cantina, you know, and it felt like you were really there, but they didn't.
Right.
You know, if they did that kind of thing, that, you know, I would have been able to walk into a place and feel like I am
in that world.
In that world, you know, I mean, yeah. if they set up a cantina somewhere, and like we keep coming back to the whole cantina discussion, but if they set up a cantina somewhere where it looked exactly like the cantina that we remember, and the waiters and waitresses act like they are just part of that world, and, you know, don't feel like it's a job, you know, don't make me think you're just there as a job, and even though you are, but make, you know, you're an actor, you're a
right.
performer at this point. You need to be performing that role, even though you're serving me food. You know, make me feel like I'm really there.
Yeah. You know, that's something that the Disney parks seem to be good about. So when they open the Star Wars section there, I'm sure that the staff will be engaging.
Yeah, I mean all their staff are not considered you're not a waiter, you're not a waitress, you're not a cashier. You're all cast members.
Right.
Yeah. That's what they get hired as.
Yeah.
That's one thing I was about to say, too, is that when I went to Disney after Celebration was over, I mean, I'm 24 years old, but I still feel like, you know, the people that I would see walk around in costume weren't just people there to make a quick buck, you know? They right. were there because they were passionate about what they were doing, and I mean, it's Disney. They're not just going to throw somebody in a costume and say, hey, go, you know, interact with the crowd.
Right.
I mean, these people are really, at least from my experience, seemed really invested into their job and making sure that, you know, even, you know, especially little kids, but even people that are my age and older, you know, feel like they can still get something from that character interaction.
Right. For me, I think that I'm going to go the VR route. I would love to see a VR version of something like Star Wars The Old Republic. Where you can interact with other people. You can visit other planets. It's a game, but I've always wanted, you know, it's funny. Not like I was the only person to come up with this idea, obviously, but like back when first person shooters first came out, and you've got Castle Wolfenstein and you've got Doom and things like that, I kept thinking, why couldn't you make an online game that like you could talk to other people, like a lot of the stuff you had back then was either text-based or it was something like Ultima Online where it's tile-based. I'm like, why couldn't you take something like Doom and make that more like an online role-playing game? And then eventually they did exactly that, and we had things like EverQuest and, you know, et cetera. So the next evolution of that seems to be virtual reality and eventually haptic feedback and things like that. But it's different, like you said, Chris, of there's an experience when you're actually sitting in a chair and you're looking with your own eyes at other people that are with you and you're interacting with them, the people who are present with you. I think that's a better experience. For me, the availability of VR, once it becomes more widely available, in something like Star Wars The Old Republic or an equivalent sort of game, it's more about the accessibility of it. I can't get to Hollywood from the East Coast very often, but I can throw on a pair of goggles plugged into my PlayStation anytime I want. So you're trading a certain level of authenticity for a certain level of access. And I would be okay with that. I don't have as high expectations of the VR as I do actually going to something like Disney World, but it's a different kind of experience. So for me, being able to play a character, to be a cast member myself, so to speak, I think that would be really cool. So I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to the point where, I mean, Battlefront is basically the same sort of thing. I'm just more interested in the long game. I'm interested in the role-playing game, getting to go around and, VR Minecraft is another example of something that really appeals to me. You know, you go into a world, you build things, you make the world your own. Same thing for Star Wars. That's what I would like to see as far as immersion goes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the good news is, regardless of what type of immersion we're interested in, this stuff's all coming. And, you know, we couldn't really say that 5-10 years ago. So that's really exciting. I mean, this is an exciting time for Star Wars fans in many, many, many different ways. So, well, I tell you what, if anybody goes to the pop-up cantina in Hollywood, they're going to have to let us know about it. It's going to be a while. It's not coming until the winter, but we would definitely like to hear more about that. So anything else before we wrap up the show here, guys?
Nothing else I can think of. I mean, okay. All this talk about this is really getting me excited about going to one of the parks once they finish up the new Star Wars installations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the parks, have we got any information about an opening date for California and when/if something is going to happen in Florida?
No, I haven't seen anything. Yes and no, respectively. We have no released opening date, rather, for California. We do know they're doing stuff in Florida. I don't think it's been announced what. But, I mean, stuff in Florida, that could be just like a cantina makeover. Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I hope we get something as big as what they're doing in California in Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pictures that Mike keeps posting in our Slack channel of the construction in California is just this big hole in the ground. It's like, that is huge, and I can't wait to see it, but I want a little more. It's just all brown right now.
That's okay. Pretty soon we won't be able to get pictures at all because it'll all be under tarps labeled top secret.
No, come on. There'll be drone footage. Come on.
We're gonna get of the footage. Tarps labeled top secret. Well, I mean, I'm actually a little excited about going back to Star Wars The Old Republic. I mean,
yeah, it's about as immersive as we're going to get right now.
Yeah. I mean, I used to just kind of lurk there and be, hey, you know, I've got an apartment on Coruscant or whatever.
I thought like, I saw you creeping cool. in the corner.
Yeah. you know what? We're going to have some info on the server and stuff like that. I know in the past we've tried to go back to it. We didn't get really a lot of response to it, but I think there's enough new content now that I'm interested in going back and checking out the content, even if we don't have a lot of other people that join us to play and hang out.
Exactly.
And I think that maybe that will come.
Damn it. We're going to have fun.
Yes.
Even if we're there by ourselves.
With or without you.
It'll be fun having to relearn the game because I remember it was hard enough back then trying to, you know, figure out the proper way to, level and to do combat and yeah. I remember at the time I just got to level 50 on my Jedi character and I thought I had it down.
Yeah, so, and now they've changed so much of the game mechanics. Like mm-hmm. I had a level 50 gunslinger smuggler and he was a saboteur, so he did mainly area of attack or area of effect attacks. Mm-hmm. And now they've changed it. I don't know if that's still a viable build or not. So like now I have to go through and relearn all of that. I loved the smuggler character. I liked the storyline. I liked him.
Well, I think the good news is when they tweak that kind of stuff, they resend all your points and you can pick everything from scratch again.
Yeah. But the problem is I don't know what to pick.
Right.
So
I'm
just sitting there like, okay, well, I guess I can use him to craft and, you know, play the Galactic Trade Network a little bit, but
so
I don't know.
We'll have to roll new tunes and we'll start from scratch.
Yep. That's okay. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll get you guys to go to the dark side.
Yeah, we'll do that too. I liked my bounty hunter and Imperial agent. So, all right. Well, we'll get information for people if they want to join us. And even if you're not, we're going to do it anyway. So that's it. Send us feedback. echobase@randomchatter.com. We'd like to hear from you on this. What is your idea of immersion in Star Wars? What's important to you? What's not? Do you plan on picking up the VR stuff? Is that something that interests you, or some of the augmented reality stuff, like the living room overlays that I think it's Microsoft was working on? Any of that? Does that sound interesting to you, or is that sound like something that's worth your money, or is it just a gimmick and we need to wait for the technology to mature? Let us know what you think.
And of course, one way to immerse yourselves in our stuff is to go on to the online resources we have available to you, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can also find us on Twitter at Echo Base Podcast, at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter at Lou Secchi. That's LOUSECKI. Chris, where can they find you?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
Okay. And Eric, where are you on Twitter?
I'm at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got the entire selection of shows, both the collection that we do, Random Chatter, Outer Rim, and Echo Base, and the collection that Jay and Josh do, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. And with the fall TV season just around the corner, now's a great time to go back and catch up on those. We've also got Courtcast with Chris and Joelle, and we've got the Retro Convo. So don't miss those. Lots of good stuff over there, randomchatter.com.
And as always, please, please, please tell your friends about us. Spread the word about our shows and our network. Leave reviews for us on iTunes and Stitcher. That really helps us get go up in the rankings of iTunes and all of that jazz. So do that. We would really, really, really appreciate it.
And of course, another way to catch our shows is to listen to us live. We're doing shows on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can find us at randomchatter.com/live. We're also doing them on Ustream. Just search for Random Chatter and you'll find us there. If you listen to the Ustream on the iOS or Android apps, there's no ads, which is a nice bonus.
Yes. Finally, we want to give a shout out to everybody who's helped support us through Patreon. I have to say that if we didn't have the Patreon support, not only would we have a hard time keeping the network up and running, but we would not be able to even consider doing things like these video shows. So, you know, one of the things I see the video shows doing is, you know, it's reaffirmation that we are trying to invest back in the network and back into what we're bringing to the audience. And Patreon is a way that if you help donate to keep us up and running and to help us grow, it's a way in which we can give things back to you. I think we mentioned a little bit that we plan to do some game streaming. Some of our staff members do through Twitch. Not officially part of the Random Chatter Network per se, but it's something that'll be part of a Random Chatter Network team. And I think what we're going to do, one of the things that we're going to do with Patreon is we're going to add a couple of perks related to the gaming stuff for the people who are interested in that. For example, if you are at the level with that gives you access to our Slack group, which is awesome. Our Slack team is just great. But that, you know, we're pulling people from there to help us test out things like we're going to have a weekly game night. We're going to do Artemis, which is like a Star Trek bridge simulator sort of thing that ends up being a bit comical. We're going to do, there's a web-based Cards Against Humanity interface. We're going to be doing things like that. You know, a lot of time we pull from the Slack channel for volunteers to help us with that sort of stuff. So, you know, that's another thing that we can help give back to the Patreon donors. We'll probably, if you're interested in the Old Republic, we'll probably find some sort of an in-game perk that we can give people as well. So, we're not trying to bribe people. We're always going to be free. You're never going to have to pay to get to listen to the shows. We just want to make sure that the people who are helping us, that we find something we can do to help them back. So if you'd like more information on that, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. And that's it for this week. Next week, we will probably have another video show, possibly kind of a beta thing. And then after the beginning of the month, we are going to be fully up and running with this video thing. Pretty exciting. So that's it. We're going to close the blast doors here at Echo Base. We will see you next week. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
The Force will be with you always.